Well, good morning. If we haven't had an opportunity to meet before, my name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor here at CORE, and whether you are checking us out online or you're here in person, what Josh said earlier rings true for every single one of us, that we are so incredibly excited that each and every one of you are here with us this morning. And I find myself incredibly excited that you are here during this season of CORE Community Church. You see, what some of you may know, last week for me was an absolute blur. I'm not exactly sure what I said or what I alluded to, but in one of the services, I alluded to the fact that last weekend, we arrived back in Shelby, Ohio at about 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. My alarm went off at 5:30 a.m. to be here to get ready for services last Sunday, but we arrived back into Shelby at 4 a.m. because we had spent the last week at our care point that we support here at CORE Community Church in Guatemala, in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the entire world. And it was such an absolutely incredible experience that we can't wait to share with you guys over the coming weeks, that you're going to get to hear some stories, you're going to see some pictures, and get to watch some videos of some of what we got to see. And it was so great to be back. We hadn't traveled to our care point since pre-COVID, and so it had been 4 summers since we had been there, and just to be able to interact and to re-engage in those relationships, and for our CarePoint staff who is making a difference and changing their world every single day, to be able to infuse some life and some energy into them and to let them know you're not alone and we're still here behind you. You see, we support, there's about 250 kids every single day that go to our CarePoint to receive schooling, tutoring, healthcare, and food that they would not receive otherwise if someone didn't stand in the gap for them. And yet during this season, what I'm so excited about is one of the things that you may have heard us say around here before is this, is that we believe with all of our heart that the local church should be known more for what it's for than what it's against. And we find ourselves in a season in which you're going to get to see firsthand our commitment to reaching further into our city and further into our world in some incredible ways. And you're going to see that come to fruition as we look at the ways in which we are digging deeper into our care point in Guatemala City and continuing to stand in the gap and support them more and help them fulfill their dreams and their visions on how they can continue to change their world. Just this week, Krista and I booked our flights to take a trip and look at opportunities for us to expand to a second site on our global expansion for our global impact ministries into Africa. As well as this month, we're doing another Adopt-A-Block at our Dream Center. All energy is pushing forward to opening the Dream Center and its facility come September 1 of this year, as well as what Josh talked about with Stand for Shelby being just around the corner. One of the biggest events that we do that really signifies our heart and our DNA in being for our city. And so with all of those things that you're going to get to experience over the next few months, man, I'm so incredibly excited that you are here for it and that you get to be along on this journey with us. But before we get to all of that, and really in that same light, we find ourselves this morning kicking off this brand new 5-week series that we are calling Your Integrity, Our World. And over the course of the next 5 weeks, as we approach Stand for Shelby, we feel as if this series is the perfect preparation for every single one of us as we prepare our hearts for what it looks like to make the greatest impact possible on the people around us. You see, Stand for Shelby is one of these times of the year in which we feel like it's our biggest opportunity collectively to show our city that we are for it, to show our world that we are for it in tangible ways. And yet, what if I told you that every single day you individually and I individually have an opportunity to make an influence on the world around us? And that there is one thing that ultimately can make or break our ability to make the biggest impact possible on the world around us. And if you walked into this room and you consider yourselves to be a Christ follower, this one thing goes one step further. That there is one thing that has the potential to make or break the influence that you have for Christ. And that one thing is your integrity. See, for what we believe around here, for every single one of us, integrity has the ability to make or break the influence that we make on the world around us. And simply defined, integrity is the courage and resolve to do the right and noble thing just because it's the right and noble thing. People of integrity choose to do the right thing regardless of whether it benefits them or whether it costs them. And when we look at integrity exemplified for us, we see people making choices of integrity. What I know to be true is this, is that the people I admire most are actually the people who find a way to make choices of integrity when it costs them, when it isn't the easy route, when there is no benefit for them. That those are the people we consider to be heroes, that those are the people we want to model our lives after, that those are the people that we want to follow. And the reason is because great integrity reaches beyond our life. Great integrity reaches beyond just our own circumstances. Great integrity has the potential to make an impact on the people around you. And that's why throughout this series, we're going to be exploring and having a conversation around how we make integrity an integral part of all lives and every choice that we make. And what I know to be true is this, is that when it comes to integrity and when it comes to my choices, that often it's difficult for us as humanity to change the lens through which we see our own personal choices. Because it's so easy for every single one of us, it's okay to admit this, I'll admit it first, that as we move through life, and especially as we move through difficult seasons of life, it becomes easier and easier for us to begin to believe and justify that our choices only affect me. And if we're going to change our lens, for us to be able to understand that our integrity actually influences and impacts our world, then what I recognize is that on the forefront of this five-week series, that today is simply about laying this foundation. Today is about defining what integrity is and why it's so important to every single one of us, regardless of if you have a relationship with Jesus. But if you do have a relationship with Jesus, today is also about helping us understand how our integrity collides with our faith, and how our integrity is actually an indicator of where our faith stands. But in order for us to understand what integrity is, I thought it was most fitting for me to paint a picture in every single one of our minds what integrity looks like and how integrity spreads into the people around us. My guess is that many of us have heard of the phrase structural integrity, am I right? That maybe at some point in your life, the company that you work for has gone through a building project, or maybe you've built your own house at some point, and you've heard the architects talk about this concept of structural integrity. And in its simplest form, structural integrity is simply this. It's an assessment of each weight-bearing piece within a structure to ensure that that weight-bearing piece is capable of holding the weight that has been placed upon it. And as they assess the structural integrity of each beam within a building, what they do is this. They test the structural integrity under normal operating conditions, but then they want to ensure the structural integrity when conditions are abnormal. Because what they want to see within that building is this. Can that beam carry the weight or the load that has been placed upon it when the sun is shining, but is it also capable of holding the weight that has been placed upon it when the storms beat against it? And you see, here is where two worlds collide. Because the same is true of our own personal integrity. That when it comes to our personal integrity, there is this assessment that needs to be made of whether or not our integrity can hold the load that has been placed on it, not just in normal circumstances, but also in the abnormal circumstances of life. When the storms of life beat against it, can our integrity hold up against it? Because if it can't, here's what happens. If one beam fails, every other beam within that building must carry the additional load that that beam has now let down. And you see, the same is true when it comes to our personal integrity. You see, here's the reality. A failure of personal integrity adds stress to the persons around us. That when we make choices in our lives that are only concerned with me getting what I want, when I want, and believing that my choices only affect me, and ultimately sacrificing our personal integrity, those choices add stress to the persons around us. And yet here's what I have to admit about myself, is that that reality is often overlooked in my own life. That reality is easiest overlooked in my own choices, because it's far easier to move through all lives just simply believing that my choices only affect me, and my choices are all about me. And yet if we were to get ridiculously honest and look close enough, what we would see is that that is far from the truth. And here is how we can see that clearest. When we look off of our own decisions of personal integrity and we begin to look at other people's decisions of personal integrity. Because when we look at other people's decisions of personal integrity, it becomes really clear, really quick, that their decisions reach further than just their own life. Because we've all experienced or heard stories of the CEOs who have cut financial corners within their business, right? They make fraudulent signatures on documents or lead people to believe that sales are at a certain level when they really aren't. And ultimately, before long, those fraudulent charges cause them to lose their business or file for bankruptcy. But it isn't just that they're losing their business. What else ultimately happens? Hundreds, thousands of people lose their jobs. Stockholders are left hanging out to dry on their investment that they've made within this company. We've experienced stories of spouses who have been unfaithful and watched from a distance as their single choice of integrity affected their spouse and their kids and their parents when at 45 years old they had to move back into their house. That our personal choices of integrity don't just end with us. We've seen it happen in the moments in our world when parents have chosen the shortcuts and the heat of the moment and resorted, when things got tough with their kids, to moments of abuse or neglect. And we've seen the long-term ramifications of what that looks like in a child's life and the weight that they bear for the entirety of their life, mentally, emotionally, from that day forward. That it spreads not just to them, but also to an overloaded foster care system that has more kids than what it does parents who are capable of stepping forth and caring for those kids as their loving parents. Our choices carry weight that is about more than just our life and more than just our future. We've seen the cost of integrity in countless situations. And if we were just left to ourselves, and our choices were only about us, we wouldn't have to worry about integrity. But what every single one of us know deep inside of us is that that isn't how life works. Because we're not left to ourselves. Every single one of us, regardless of who you are, how young, how old you are, we all have a circle of influence in our lives. And our decisions ultimately affect that circle of influence. And because we're not left to ourselves, when we take the shortcut, the easy route, or the route that gives me the benefit when I want it, but it isn't right or noble, those around us feel it. Because when it comes to our choices, the load is always transferred. The load is always transferred. There is a weight that must be bore for every decision of our lives. Integrity says, I'll carry the weight. A lack of integrity says, you carry it for me. Integrity is the courage to say, when it comes to my choices and my integrity, I will carry the weight. But a failure of integrity says, I am entrusting that you will carry it for me. Our choices carry significance beyond ourselves. And that's why this series is all about my integrity, our world. Your integrity, our world. My integrity, my family. my workplace, my city, my friends, your integrity, your family, your workplace, your city, your friends. Our integrity matters for the difference we make and the example we set in the people around us. And that reality, that our integrity spreads beyond ourselves, is something that has been true and evident since the beginning of humanity. It's the reason why this guy that we often talk about around here, this guy by the name of Paul, who was entrusted to write a majority of the second part of God's instruction manual for all life, references back to this reality that the choices of one person carry ramifications for multitudes. That one choice doesn't just affect you, it affects multiple people. And that happens in bad ways, but it can also happen in good ways. You see, this is what Paul writes in his letter to the church in Rome, starting in chapter 5. He says, "Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous." The choice of one, the choice of one person's integrity has the potential to impact and influence our world. And because that reality is true in every single one of our stories, just a few chapters later, this is how Paul chooses to follow up that truth. Check this out. In chapter 14, he writes this. "So let's stop condemning each other." You know what Paul is saying here? Stop worrying about the choices of integrity of everybody else and calling those things out. Worry about yourself. Worry about your own choices of integrity. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Be concerned with your own actions, your own choices of whether or not you are courageous enough to do what is right and noble just because it's right and noble, without any thought of whether or not it will cost you or benefit you in the long run. And then this last verse, this last sentence in this passage is so ridiculously powerful because Paul really makes two notes in here. He's talking, one, about what it looks like to set an example, and then two, what it looks like to carry the weight and not transfer the weight. To set a great example for the people who are watching you, most notably your kids, your younger siblings. Every single one of us have people that are watching our choices, whether we want to acknowledge or admit it or not. And then he says this, don't cause people to stumble or fall. And you know where my mind immediately went? The easiest way for us to cause people to stumble or fall is for us to put weight on their shoulders that they were never meant to carry. And the quickest way for us to do that is to make choices that lack personal integrity. And what did I say earlier? To transfer the load onto their shoulders, onto our spouse's shoulders, onto our kids' shoulders, onto our coworkers' shoulders, whatever it may be, to transfer that load and to cause them to stumble or fall. But if you're anything like me, here's the rub. There is this reality that rings true in our world and in most of our lives, and it's this, that integrity is a global expectation for everyone else. Y'all okay? That there is an expectation in our lives and in our world that everybody else maintain their integrity even if we don't. Don't believe me? The unfaithful spouse expects their spouse to remain faithful to them. Thieves expect that no one else touch their stuff. Some of us have lived this to a T. In fact, I'm willing to sneak out there. We're not going to go raise of hands here, but I'm willing. Some of us have experienced this before. At some point in your life, have you ever cheated on a test? You looked at the person's paper next to you, or you were one of those people who in pencil had written some of the answers on your hand and your teacher didn't catch you as you were constantly flipping your hand on your desk to write down the answers to your test. My guess is that after you finished cheating on that test, you had an expectation that your teacher was going to grade your test fairly. Am I right? That they wouldn't make a mistake and cheat you out of any of the points that you cheated to get. Integrity is a global expectation that we have for everybody else. And we expect everyone else to uphold this unspoken rule that exists in our world. Because essentially, here's what takes place in every single one of our lives and in every single one of our stories. Here's what becomes easy to fall back on if we allow it to. That essentially in our lives, integrity assumes and ought to, that we readily appeal to, that we assume everybody around us is accountable to. Integrity assumes and ought to, this is what you should do, how you ought to act, how you should live up to the promise you made, the commitment you made, the covenant you entered into. It's an ought to that we readily appeal to. Yeah, but you said you would. Yeah, but I assumed you would. Yeah, but do you remember when we stood across from each other and we made those vows? Yeah, but you made a promise. Yeah, but you signed a contract that we readily appeal to, that we assume everybody around us is accountable to. But here's my question. But why? Why do we assume that? Wouldn't it just be easier? Come on, y'all. It's all right to admit this. Wouldn't it just be easier to move through life under this mindset with this sort of value system? I lied. So what? I was dishonest. So what? I cheated. So what? My decisions only affect me. And plus, those are just made-up standards that some make-believe God put in some make-believe book. It really doesn't matter all that much. And yet deep inside of all of us, there is this tug that notifies us that we know better, right? That that's not the way that life works. That moving through life with a whole lot of, I lied, so what? I cheated, so what? I was dishonest, so what? I made the choice that wasn't right or noble because it was the shortcut and got me what I wanted when I wanted it, hurts a whole lot of people along the way. We know that living by that doesn't work. And here's why, y'all. This is so good. This is where our integrity intersects with our faith in an incredible way. When we look close enough, get honest enough, regardless of if we believe in Jesus, walked in here with a relationship with Jesus, this exists and is true inside of every single one of us. That there is an ought to that stands outside of you and over you that didn't originate with you. There is this voice that exists inside of us, this tug that has been imprinted on every single one of our hearts, this voice that is outside of us and yet holds sway over us that didn't originate with us. And y'all, you may be able to deny the ought to with your actions, but we never deny the ought to with our reactions. When you've been hurt, there is a really quick understanding of the ought to that we should be living by. Am I right? That even when our actions don't back it up, our reactions will always back it up. There is a nudge inside of us as humanity that nudges us towards the importance of personal integrity. A voice that didn't originate with you, but that makes integrity a game changer for our world. And let me just say this. 30-second spinoff. If there is no ought to that stands outside of us and holds sway over us, then integrity is really just this. It's just a tool to get your way until it gets in the way. Integrity is reduced to just a tool to get your way until it gets in the way. And the moment that it gets in the way, we throw integrity to the wind. That all of a sudden, integrity isn't that useful and isn't that necessary in our lives. And when integrity is reduced to that, here is what integrity ultimately becomes. And this is what we see in our world. This is what we see in the midst of the brokenness. That we begin to believe that integrity is something that can simply be swayed by public opinion, majority opinion, or our own opinion. That all integrity is that it's just a signal of courtesy. Or bending to public or majority opinion. Or doing what feels good to me and making right what is my own opinion. And if integrity gets reduced to that, it is so fragile. And frankly, downright useless. Y'all okay? When we allow integrity to simply be reduced to public opinion, majority opinion, or just our own opinion, we embark on something that is so fragile and just downright useless. We ignore the repercussions that integrity has on the people around us and their lives. And it's how things that, for many of us sitting here today, things that have become obvious weren't so obvious for a really long time. How things like women's suffrage and human rights and slavery became a debate. That somehow that was an acceptable way of living. When deep inside of all of us for thousands of years, there has been this voice that exists that was stamped on our hearts that tells us otherwise. That readjusted the way in which we were called to do life. That introduced this upside down way of making decisions and loving people and living with integrity. That every single one of us have this ought to that is stamped on our hearts. This voice that was implanted on our hearts by our Creator, the one who knows us best as humanity. It is implanted into all of us, regardless of whether we have a relationship with our Creator or not. It's a voice that keeps trying to call you back to Him, to get you to move towards His best, a voice that loves you regardless of where you stand or how many moments you have lacked personal integrity, and a voice that knows this power of personal integrity in your life, for your future, for your family, and for our world. It's why that same guy that we talked about earlier in the exact same letter calls out this very thing, recognizes this very thing as an implant that is on every single one of our hearts as humanity. In Romans chapter 2, Paul writes this. For even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know His law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. There is this inescapable ought that exists inside of every single one of us, not just for our benefit, but for the world's. An inescapable ought that was reintroduced to this world almost 2,000 years ago when the Creator and Sustainer of the universe put on flesh and once and for all collided heaven with earth. And yet here's the incredible part, y'all. When the God of the universe put on flesh and came to this earth, something no other religion in our world can attest to or claim, our God did that for us. He introduced this upside down way of doing life and loving people that hadn't been seen or exemplified by this world up until that point. This submission competition, this race to the back, this way of elevating those who had been marginalized, including those who had become outcasts, this way of loving people and operating in the right and noble way, even when it costs you, all the way to the cross. Hello.
And yet this God who put on flesh for you and for me, one of his last wishes was that you and I, if we consider ourselves to be Christ followers, would join in on this cause to introduce this collision of heaven and earth every single day through our actions, choices, and integrity in our life. That ultimately in carrying out integrity and making the right and normal, noble choices, we have an opportunity in operating in such a manner that the rest of the world rarely operates in, under integrity, to have people ask the question, what is different about that dude? In a good way. What is different about her? Because when I look at this world, I rarely see people making choices that don't benefit them, doing the right thing if it doesn't benefit them. I see them simply using integrity as a tool to get their way until it gets in the way. But when I look at you, there's something different about you. You make the right and noble choice, not when it benefits you, but you make it even when it costs you, even when it hurts. Even when it's not the easy route to get what you want, when you want, that ultimately questions rise to the surface from something that has been stamped on your heart that points back to a creator that can change their lives and change their eternity. And by embracing integrity, what ultimately ends up happening as a Christ follower, y'all, this is so good. This provides incredible hope for every single one of us. This drives the nail. When Jesus said, I want you to experience life and experience it to the full on this side of eternity, that when we embark upon choices of integrity, we experience what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Your choices allow you to experience intimacy with your Creator, with the one who knows you best and wants what's best for your life and your future, and wants you to make choices that are best for the futures of the people around you. Wants you to make the greatest impact on the world around you. And as a Christ follower, making choices of integrity also do one last thing. And if you're a Christ follower, I just want to challenge you to lean in for a second, because this can be convicting, or maybe I'll soften it, inspiring to every single one of us. You see, ultimately, in our lives, when you do what's right, when you do what's right and it costs you, you declare the rule of God over you. When you do what's right and it costs you, you are making a statement of who you are following, of who you have given your heart to. Integrity either shows people Jesus or it pushes people from him. It is that important. It is that big of a deal. Integrity isn't just a tool to get your way until it gets in the way. It's doing the right thing even when it costs you. And then this goes right back to Scripture. Then the moments where we make the right choice and it costs us, do you know what's happening, y'all? We are sharing in the suffering of Christ. Hello. That was promised as a good thing. And not the easy route, not the shortcut, not the one that benefits you right now or gets you what you want right now. But you get to share in the suffering of Christ and ultimately experience intimacy in a way with him that very few do, because you didn't take the shortcut. You didn't take the easy route. You didn't look at as integrity as just a tool to get your way until it gets in the way, as just something that only affects your life, your future, but the ramifications spread from there. You see, whether we realize it or believe it or not, when we live our lives demanding that we, with our actions and the world around us, treat others justly, kindly, lovingly, or fairly, we are participating in this upside-down kingdom. It's something that didn't originate with you, wasn't made by this world. It is bigger than that, more divine than that. But while it didn't originate with this world, it certainly has the potential to impact this world in big ways, to impact your world in big ways, to impact my world in big ways. So the question that's left is this: that as we move through life, and it becomes easier and easier to view our choices and our integrity through the lens of my choices really are only about me. And yet today, changing that lens through which we view our choices, through which we view the power and the spread of integrity in our lives to the people around us, and ultimately the way in which it gives us an opportunity to impact our world, to show Jesus to our world through our integrity. The question that rises to the surface for many of us is this: how do I get it? Or maybe, how do I get it back? Because I've lost sight of that. And for a while, I've been living my life as if my choices only affect me. My integrity only affects me. And I'll do it if it gets my way until it gets in the way. But if I want to have a greater impact on my family, my kids, my spouse, my coworkers, my city, and my world, how do I change that? And how do I get this lens back in my life? Or maybe for you, the question is, how do I guard it? Like, once I have it, how do I keep it? And how do I put boundaries around it to make sure that I'm filtering my decisions through the correct lens, this imprint on my heart that God wants me to hear and wants me to follow? Or maybe your question becomes, how do I model it for my kids? How do I set an example for them through my life, my actions, my marriage, my finances, my parenting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that passes this importance down to them? And if you're asking any of those questions, there's good news, because the answer's coming if you come back for part two of Your Integrity, Our World. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for being a God who put on flesh and came to this earth to introduce an upside-down kingdom, a way of treating people, making decisions, loving people that was contrary to what the world had seen, contrary to what the world had experienced. And yet not only did You introduce this upside-down kingdom that accentuated the importance of integrity in our lives, this stamp, this voice that had been imprinted on every single one of our hearts, regardless of if we had a relationship with You or not, it was there, implanted there from our Creator to help guide us towards something better. Our purpose, our calling, a greater impact, a greater influence on our world. God, not only did You model this for us, but You invited us to it. And yet, as we move through this series, God, my prayer starts here. Give us courage. Because in the circumstances we find ourselves in, as we pass through the storms of life, in the world in which we live, there are really two distinct acts of courage. The first is it takes courage just to hear that voice that's been imprinted on our hearts. It is way easier to follow the voice that's calling us to get what we want when we want it, to make all of our decisions as if it only affects me. But deep down, we know that that's not true. There is an inescapable ought that exists outside of us that originated with you, our Creator. And so give us the courage to hear it, but then also give us the courage to follow it. To follow your voice and to trust, even when integrity might hurt in the moment, it always leads to something best in the long run. And so God, help us to have courage to lean in over the course of these 5 weeks. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.